The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions, with us on the line. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners. Hope everyone's well.
Yeah, we're in the height of the summer, relatively good weather. A lot of people focusing their mind, though, on utility prices and costs of energy as we right now, indeed, but also as we head into what's going to be a difficult winter period. So there's a lot for people to assess about, I suppose, how they use power and how they get their heat, as well as maybe longer-term changes, David.
It's really never become more important, Jerry, I suppose, that we look at our own individual houses and assess it, like you said there, to make sure that we are going to run it economically, affordably. And I suppose any changes we're making, that those changes are going to lead to some savings. And I suppose, look, I'm always pushing for renewables and pushing for, as we always talk about, different levels of heat sources and things like that. But we got to be practical in our approach. You know, this time of year, I mean, we're forecasted for sunshine for the next few days. Everyone's going to be looking out, but they're looking at their boiler, but they're not thinking of servicing it. It's September, October when plumbers are up to their tonsils, and you know, I suppose it's a time when now is to plan for the winter time coming, I suppose, is the point I'm trying to make. And I guess, you know, having the boilers, having the heat sources serviced, making sure they're maintained, making sure they're going to work properly, it's going to lead to an economical winter for us, because things are getting a lot tougher out there, Jerry. And I know you were speaking earlier there about the price of fuel, and I suppose by default the price of kerosene dropping and things like that. I mean, I was just looking at a rough costing, or an average costing throughout Kerry over the last 12 months, and I mean, from peaking out over €1,500 to now averaging around €1,250 to €1,300, it is starting to drop. I guess demand is going to be key here, that it may rise again. Supply is going to be an issue. So look, homeowners need to think about this now. Do you take the plunge, make the purchase now, or do you do it later? But I suppose, look, I'm always talking about making sure that if you do fill that oil tank, that you're going to use it properly and use it economically.
Yeah, and that is a key question. If anyone has questions or queries in for David, get them into us on the programme on 066-712-3666. A listener gets in touch this morning and says, I have a 180 square feet living room. Would it be suitable for a pellet stove, or is the area too small? I have an open fire.
Okay, so there's a long version and a short version in answering this question, but I suppose key here is the measurement of the room. And it's great to have that square footage, but there's a couple of different measurements that would work. I mean, talking to Boyles Hardware in Killorglin, going to Padraig, he's in the plumbing section there, Pat, and having the length of the room, the width of the room, and the height of the room. Those are three key elements that will give you the requirement for the kilowattage size of a stove. Now, in answering the other part of that question, is a wood pellet stove suitable for that room? Then the size dictated by the measurements will say yes or say no to that. But in my experience, I would say yes, and it can be fitted in where the open fire is existing. There's some great websites out there. I mean, I've just Googled one there actually as we were talking, irelandstoves.ie. They've got a calculator there. It's a very usable calculator that someone can put in their measurements and get what size stove they've got to look for. But ultimately, talking here to the person behind the counter, I keep saying Padraig and Pat, like in Boyles, those guys have the information from the suppliers and are going to make sure that what you buy is going to fit to the room that you're going to put it in. But yeah. I guess here, Jerry, and you and I always bounce off each other with this one, ventilation is key. Installing the stove correctly, make sure that the ventilation is installed correctly, and making sure again that there's either a heat or smoke alarm within the room area. Those are just safety features that anyone that's a registered installer, or anyone that is used to installing these stoves and has done so and does do so for the manufacturers, these are requirements that have to be installed, and a certificate when it's installed at the finish.
Yeah. And the other aspect that you mentioned is, like, whatever you're burning or whatever the, you know, the fuel is, the more important thing is that you have something that's right for the size of the room in terms of the heat you want in that particular area. That's a major consideration.
Yeah, and that's relevant to, I suppose, all our heat sources in our houses, Jerry. And I've been attacked several times about talking about heat pumps non-stop and I suppose constantly, but I guess it's been fed to us by the government as well in relation to grants that are being provided of up to €6,500 for installing it. But I suppose if we have any heat source within our home, be it from the open fire all the way as far as the heat pump, we need to make sure it's working economically. We need to have them serviced and checked. Annual maintenance is key. I suppose the safety features go without saying in relation to, you know, having the correct having the correct controls on it, having them electrically correct, having the fuel source correct and stored correctly. Those are all elements that are happening in houses by default, but I suppose I talk about it because it's elements of work that we have to comply with to guarantee a homeowner receiving an SEAI grant for any of these elements.
Yep. Okay, another listener gets in touch and asks the question. This listener coming from Cahir Sivean, and asking a question about infrared heating panels. Kerry from Carstairs wants to know, could David get any information, advice regarding infrared heating panels? I was wondering if they're as effective and cost effective as advertised. And I have to say, I'd never heard of infrared heating panels, but that's not a surprise. What do we think, David?
Yeah, we have installed infrared heating panels actually in a premises in Waterville, that's further on, obviously, in Carstairs. If Albert is listening, he'll talk to the person in Carstairs all about it. But I suppose, yes, they do exist. They are an electrical form of heating. So I suppose my electrical head is going to kick in here straight away, and I'm going to say to that homeowner, yes, they can be economical in the application that they're installed for, but there's a couple of key elements here. And I mean, speaking to Safe Electric on this, I'll tie that in a second about other elements of electrical inputs. You have to make sure that the house can have enough electricity supply, I suppose, to install these heaters. They are a great way of heating, but not the most economical. And I'll say that with a capital N, not the most economical. There is more economical sources out there. But in some circumstances, this is the only source that can be installed in some premises. We installed it actually in a church. And I suppose the idea here is that we would have enough heat for the congregation while they're in there, but immediately turn them off afterwards to run them more economically. And I suppose that gives a bit of insight into how they're working. They are quite effective in giving instant heat, but again, as I said, as regards economical, there is better versions out there. So
yeah, you know, so it's horses sure for courses. If you have a house or you have a hall or you have something that's used temporarily, or it can work for different areas depending what the usage is.
It definitely can, and that's the thing, I suppose, you know, assessing the premises or assessing the dwelling, commercial, industrial, domestic, whatever it is, there is a suitable source of heating that you can apply to these premises. And that's the point there, Jerry. Like you said, like putting a heat pump into, like I just mentioned there, that church would have been completely uneconomical and would completely had not have worked. The infrared heating was the best outcome for that dwelling. So I suppose, look, yeah.
They heat the air rather than, let's say, the it's directed at surfaces, let's say the floor. They work differently from convection heaters, which heat the air rather than surfaces, which makes those panels maybe a quicker way to heat a space. So they're directed at the air rather than, let's say, or sorry, at the surface, yes, rather than the air, which is the way convection heaters work.
Heat the body, not the space, I think is the line used by some of the marketing out there, Jerry. And I suppose that's the key to that, and that's why we chose to install them in that premises, was we were heating the people within that area for a specific period of time, not worried about heating the dwelling itself. The premises itself was going to be quite uneconomical to run with a heat source of either oil or gas or heat pump. So I suppose that's what they do. The convection heater itself, I suppose, in its own terminology, I suppose it's almost blowing hot air within a heated space. So look, as I said, application is key here. In a domestic setting, it depends. A lot of people can use these in bathrooms, for example. I mean, they're a great element in a bathroom, but again, they have to be outside the wet zones. The installation of this, consult with your electrician.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're more than happy to do that, but it's just key here that I keep saying safety, but I suppose, look, we're dealing with electricity, we're dealing with moisture, we're dealing with water. So in bathroom areas, they have to be IP rated. IP44 as a minimum, IP65 would be even better again here, and that's a rating of how waterproof these are.
Yeah.
But installed correctly, I suppose, Jerry, look, and again, making sure that, you know, the fuse board in your house is capable of having this installed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's interesting stuff on the infrared heaters for our listener in Cahir Sivean. We'll have more. If you've got more questions, get them into us now. We've David O'Sullivan with DC Energy Solutions. We'll have more from the Heat Doctor after we take these.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Glorglen, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan with us on the line. David, a caller lives in a 20-year-old semi-detached home. She has central heating in her home. They would need to have a controlled heat zone. Is there a grant for this?
Yes, directly. There is a grant available for installing heating controls, but again, there's minimum requirements on this. And I suppose the fact that They have an existing heating system, 20 years old, the house. I would imagine that the heating system is of the same age. So I suppose, look, there's a couple of other things here to explore, Jerry, and not to go off subject too much, but once there's a grant for the controls, it would be a key, or it would be remiss not to make sure that the boiler is working efficiently. So even having a look at service record, or that it has been serviced regularly, then from there, installing the heating controls in some circumstances can be quite painless, but in more, it just takes a bit of extra work. And I suppose as a minimum, what you need to create to comply with the grant regulations is that there's two zones, one being hot water and two being your space heating. Now, Simi D, if it's a two-storey, ideally here, we'd love to separate upstairs heating from downstairs heating, because commonly your bedrooms are upstairs, which you can run at a lower temperature. But again, if you can't separate the zones, there is a requirement for including and installing thermostatic radiator valves, so TRV valves, as they're commonly known on the radiators. This, again, is a very, very good way to make sure that you're getting the balanced temperature throughout the house. But I think you'll say it here too, Jerry. I think if we have controls and if we have everything done with our heating, we have to examine the fabric of the building and make sure it's meeting minimum standards. And if there's anything that can be done with that, you know, have a look at the SEI website. It's very explanatory on the homepage as to what grants are available and where people can go to get the information on it at SEI.ie.
Okay, spot on. Another caller has a large house, oil-fired central heating system. House is now divided in two, with one half of the house used for Airbnb. How would David recommend splitting their heating system so that both sides of the house have their own separate heating system?
Okay, so this again, and this is more commonly asked question than you believe, Jerry, but I suppose, look here, what we have to evaluate is the size of the areas. So if there is a split in the house, which is again a very good thing to do for some circumstances, and that area is of a certain size, then the size of that area will dictate what heat requirements it has. So we've had circumstances, I suppose, in the past where one heat source will provide enough heat for both of those areas. And I know what the homeowner is probably asking here is to divide them so that there's not one tying in with the other. But in some circumstances, it's better to tie them in together on the one heat source, like a heat pump that's sized correctly. And then to the previous homeowner's question, making sure controls are correct. So whilst you can control an oil boiler, you can control a heat pump, you can control any heat source, setting up your controls to make them work properly would be key here. Now, outside of that, if that homeowner did want to have two separate heat sources, then, you know, again, I'm going to suggest they would have to put in two heat pumps. But it ties back to the previous question about infrared heaters, which is making sure that electrically the house has enough of a supply coming to it in order to make sure that the heaters will have the correct current, correct voltage, correct supply. So in some circumstances, a standard domestic house with a heat pump has a 16 kVA supply. These are electrical terms. But again, most commonly in the past, a lot of houses had 12.
Yeah.
So part of the work, making sure that when you are separating it out, that the supply to the house is strong enough. That's the basic principle.
That's what needs to be done, yeah.
But directly to answer that homeowner, I suppose. You know, there's a lot more. It's not just considered a heat source. There's a lot more things to consider. And again, I'll go off subject here, but again, it's making sure the home is insulated, retaining the heat, working economically. But I think here, maybe that homeowner may have the option of installing two heat pumps, a smaller one for the air, bed and breakfast portion of the house, and a bigger one for the larger section of their own house.
Another listener gets in touch and says, can you ask, if I fit solar panels to heat water alone, can I put that through a closed circuit to keep the radiators warm throughout the day, which in turn should keep the house warm alone in winter? Asks the listener.
There's a technical question, Jerry. So fitting solar panels to just do hot water only, it comes to the cylinder. Now, again, I'm not best learned on this, but I know that the plumbers would be happy to answer that question if the homeowner wants to get in touch with us. But again, it's most common practice that any solar panels on the roof will prioritise and only give hot water to heating as a standard.
Yes.
I will be corrected on that, but I know there is ways then of heating the radiators and of doing that. But again, I suppose I'm a little bit biased towards this. If the homeowner is considering installing any type of solar panels, then PV photovoltaic panels would be my suggestion, because whatever heat source they're using, even though the thought process is kerosene, you are still using electricity. And the PV panels feeding electricity into your house can be directed or prioritized to do hot water, but also do any heat source that you have running so that you're running it very economically. So there's two ways for that homeowner to look at that. And I suppose in the technical side of things, I'll defer to call a friend on that one, but happy to take the phone call from that homeowner.
Yeah, sure. Morning, Jerry and David. I have a back boiler that only heats downstairs. Is it possible to get it heating the whole house? And if it's a big job to do it, says Anne and Trilly. Now, this is one of those questions that prompts several other questions, I suppose, David.
Yeah, good morning, Anne. Yeah, this, unfortunately, I suppose, does lead us down the rabbit hole of so many different answers. But I suppose direct answer to this is, yes, you should be able to do that. But again, control of a back boiler is not something that is, I suppose, commonly done.
Yeah.
A back boiler, I suppose, is prioritising for your hot water. And once it has heated a hot tank of hot water, it's going to give heat to the rest of the radiators in the house. Yeah. Now, if Anne has had it working before or working in the past that it has done radiators upstairs and downstairs, or if it's a case that it's only ever done the radiators downstairs, then that may be a different setup within the way the house was plumbed first day. Okay. But I suppose I'm going to just give the sentence, Jerry. Let's consider another heat source, Anne. Let's think about maybe possibly having a look at what grants are available. Have a look on the SEI website. I know it's a big leap to make this to pay this money for upgrading to heat pumps or even an oil boiler if it's affordable, but it gives you more control. It works more economically. There's ways of tying it in with PV, for example, like the last homeowner, and it just gives you a way, like we started out the show with Jerry, of saying your house is running economically for the year ahead.
Sure. David, listen, we've lots more queries to get to. We'll hold them over in the meantime, until you're with us again next month. We'll pass them on to you in the meantime.
Sorry, if I could there as well, if I could.
Yeah, just you wanted to mention something at the very end about the Glenbay
races. Yeah, just very, very selfishly wanted to say, Glenbay races are coming up September 3rd and 4th. You're, of course, more than welcome yourself and Trasa. Everyone in Radio Kerry, come along. But I'd like to wish everyone best wishes in the committee. Our new president, Tom Cronin, stepping up as the former president, longest running by default because the races didn't run with COVID for a while. But I suppose, look, it's a community event. We're welcoming everyone, and we just can't wait to have it happening on the 3rd and 4th of September this year.
Good to see them back after the couple of years that we've had. David, thanks a million for that. That's David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions there.